It's always good to be here. Of course, at this age, it's always good to be anywhere. But let me tell you something, Danny. I can't forget your dad. Mercy. When you were up here, I was just thinking, reflecting back. And that's why when you call, one of the chief reasons I don't turn you down, even though I do have other things I could be doing, I have his memory in my mind. I thank God for his memory. No nonsense. We need 1,000 more like him today. 1,000 plus. But Alana, let her know that you didn't have to say much more than that. She's just moved up on my prayer list. I've shared this already with a few people. Steve, be quiet. What do you call a bear in the woods that's toothless? What do you call a bear in the woods that's toothless? What's wrong with this place? What? Gummy bears. See, the kids would get that, Steve. The kids would get that one. That's easy. But let me share with you the difference between mentally ill, briefly, and mentally evil. In homicide on the police department, we've seen it happen many times. And this is the reason why a lie detector test is not permissible in court. The chief reason being, there are some murderers and rapists and robbers, like this fella that killed this fella in Taylor and these other places the other day with this AK-47. There are people like him that don't have a conscience. And they fall into the context of Ephesians 4:19. They are, quote, past feeling. Nothing registers. If you would say, it's a day or night outside, they would say, it's night. And the electronic device would not move because there's nothing there. He's that kind of guy. See? But you know who should be put in the same category of him? The judge that let him out. He has a record this long. Just in November, he went to that same place with his AK-47, and he was put on, guess what? Probation. The average time for a rapist, you know how many years you get? I mean, if you're caught in the act, if you're caught in the act, 4 years or less. We're not serious about this thing. God is, and we're going to look at this in a minute. You're going to learn something today about Satan and how he acts and operates through people like this fellow here. And they're getting younger and younger. School kids carrying guns to school. Anything might break out at any time, any place. The only question is to what degree, what magnitude. And we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. Even when I was on the police department, it wasn't this bad. It wasn't this bad. Now, I prayed for that officer, Doss. I did. You know what I prayed for? Not so much that God would raise him up, but that God would save his soul. And you see, when I go into situations like that, when I'm asked, and people are in what you would consider to be a coma state, talk to them anyway. The last thing to go is your hearing. That's the final thing to go. Faith comes by hearing. You can say it. You're in church. Yeah, you can say it. You're in church. It's okay. Nobody's going to bother you. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. I said this to a fellow, never will forget, Dan. It had to be 25 years ago. VA hospital when it was out in Allen Park. And I went to see him. His mother wanted me to go see him. Because she knew he wasn't saved and he was in a coma, as they say. So I went in there and there were some other technicians doing things. And I introduced myself. They said, well, it'll have to be a quiet visit because he can't hear you. I said, you don't know that. I'm going to talk to him anyway. So, okay. As you will. They walked out. That was a good thing. Let the devil get out of here. The Lord can do business. And I said, Will, if you can hear me, I want you to know this. You're on your way to hell, and you'll be there shortly. But God didn't make hell for you. He never intended for you to go to hell. Had he intended for you to be in hell or go to hell, you'd have been there already. He never intended that. This is your will. Don't let your will be done. Let God's will be done. And his will is that you be with him where he is, so that you'll join your parents and your grandparents. Your sisters, they're all saved. You're not. I mean, I laid it on him. Well, God answered prayer. A few days later, he came out of that coma. I went back to see him. I said, Bill, I was here to see you a few days ago. He said, I know it. Well, I wasn't going to go for the fluff. It wasn't going to go down like that. I said, how do you know? What did I say? He said, you told me I was going to hell. I said, that's exactly right. I was here. You heard every word. And guess what? He went on to tell me what I said. From that point on, now I'm not going to say it works in every case, but this is a case I know it worked. And he got out. The Lord raised him up. 3 months later, he was baptized in our pool. I didn't say nothing. I just sat back and listened to him. And he gave that testimony. So let me tell you something, friend. I don't care what state or status a person may seem like they're in to you. Give them the gospel anyway, because it's quick and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. It can go where you and I can't go. Give it to them. The problem is we won't do it. We seem to be ashamed of it. Or we may think it's too late. Who told you that? Where's that at written? Where's that written? Well, a year or two later, he passed away, and I did the funeral. I had an opportunity to say the same thing over again. Same thing over again. Well, I want you to turn to Job here. Turn to Job. Now, how many of you are sitting here know the reason why you wear your ring on this index finger here, your wedding ring? How many know the reason why? Pardon me? Who said that? Okay. You're almost there. You're almost there. See?
Why do you wear
it? No. That $50 you're going to give me, give it to her.
What does it signify?
No. It's the only finger where the vein goes directly to your heart. Veins in your finger. It's the only this finger, the ring finger. That speaks volumes, does it not? About the commitment to marriage, the institution of marriage. Small wonder the devil is going for the jugular today, destroying the first institution. You know what the first institution is? No, not marriage. The first institution is gender. If you go on Facebook, you have over 50 different genders now. 50 different genders. Why? Because God made them male and female. And he didn't stutter. He hadn't changed his mind. When I came on the police department many, many years ago, the first thing I had to have on the dining room table was my marriage license. You couldn't be shacking. Obviously, there couldn't be men with men and women with women. And as you know, Sodom didn't go that far. We have gone further than Sodom. Nowhere in Sodom were there women with women. Nowhere. We've gone further. And then We have certified it and we celebrate it. We have gone further than any nation. That's why, saints, you know God is long-suffering to have tolerated us this long, being the abominable people that we are. Well, let's see here what we can get out of Job. Well, first of all, you may have heard this, that Job registers as one of the oldest books in the Bible. You know that. Did anybody ever tell you why and give you the evidence for that? I will. Turn to chapter 4. Turn to chapter 4. And don't you forget it. This is one of Job's miserable three friends that came to comfort him. And they sat there, what was it, for 10 days and just looked at him. Now here you are, having suffered the loss of 10 children in one time. The most I've been to is eight kids slaughtered, murdered. Eight kids. I was there right after the fact. You have never seen anything like this. I hope you never will. But this guy went on a rampage to get back at her. He kills, the only reason he didn't kill all nine is because the ninth one wasn't there. But he cut all their throats and stacked them up. And I thought to myself, I felt like the guy did in the courtroom the other day that wanted to get to this sorry rascal posing as a doctor and violating all of these girls. I can understand how he lost it. I can understand that. Because some of the stuff that came out, he didn't know about it until his girls said it in court. They were too ashamed. It was too hurtful to let their dad hear that. I don't have any girls. God knew he couldn't trust me with them. Well, some fella violate one of my girls, it'd be on the front page of the preacher shoots man 100 times. I got knucklehead boys, but God knew I didn't have any sisters. And I wanted a daughter. Really, I wanted a daughter. Three sons. I said, baby, we got to cut this off at the pass. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. But God knew. I love girls. Ooh, boy, I love girls. Let me tell you where they went wrong with that. Something you haven't heard. You've heard the other stuff, and that is they should have had nurses, first of all, in the room with them. Or the parents should have been there. Girls that young, I don't care if it's a father or a mother. Listen, let me tell you something. When my boys were coming up, man, listen to this, Dad. When my boys were coming up, and they were out shopping, and they had to go to the restroom, she didn't let him go into the men's room, 3-4 years old. You kidding me? She'd go into the women's room. She said, young boy coming in, close your eyes. She closed his eyes. She put his hands over, she put her hands over his eyes. And she made her announcement, young boy coming in, put her hands over my son, took him right on into the ladies' room. She dared send him into a men's room, 3, 4, 5 years old. Are you serious? She didn't do that back then. She didn't stop taking them in there until they were about 16 years old. But listen, look at this. Oh, let me tell you what happened with this guy, this nasty fella. Here's where they messed up. For 20 years, and beginning after about the second year, he was having these young girls call him Larry. That should have been the first tip off. They were, you know, that's not a professional relationship. And the parents should have picked up on that. You don't even know my daughter. This is a professional, this is not a social relationship. He said, call me Larry. Wow, you don't do that. No, you don't do that. It's one of the first mistakes they made. Okay. In Job chapter 4, here's the first tip-off. Then Eliphaz, the Teman, he answered and said, no good advice, and that's why Job eventually called them, miserable counselors are you. But this Eliphaz, you know where he comes from? You know who he is? He is the eldest son of Esau. Now you get the idea. And this is why we can put this book back into the book of Genesis very easily. But this is his firstborn son. Let's go back now to Job 1. Let's follow this quickly. By the way, we'll let you out in time to see the Super Bowl, so just relax. Oh, by the way, do you know what a ticket costs? Guess what a ticket costs? $4,500. And that's the cheap seats. And they're going, hey, get them up. Hey, the scalpers are getting $6,000 and $7,000. You got a few you would like to let me have, Selja? I'm almost to the place now where I'm turning off the NFL. And that's the last sport I really enjoy. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, kick back, watch the games, and Monday, football. Because this commissioner, he need to be hung out to dry. What a sorry, Odell, what a sorry commissioner. He could have nipped this thing in the bud early on had he had any backbone whatsoever. You tell me that the very thing that caused you to make the money you make, the fame you have, the game you play, and you're going to call saying the national anthem has become hate speech? You are a liar and the truth is not in you. And Roger Goodell should have been fired a long time ago. And anybody that can't stand for the flag should go to another country where they can stand for that one. And if you need a little help, I'll donate to a kitty to get you there if you promise you won't come back. Now, there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and escheweth evil. Now, here's God's commendation on the man, not yours, not man's. And we don't know who really wrote the book, but that's okay. It's still God's commendation on Job, that he was what? That he was mature, he was upright, that he feared God. He eschewed evil, stayed away from evil. And he had a perfect family. Here was his family. To him was born 7 sons, 3 daughters. That's a perfect family. 7 sons, 3 daughters. That's how God evaluates a perfect family. And he had it. Now, his substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that man was the greatest of all men of the East. Another commendation by God, saying he was one of the greatest. Notice, he was not one. This man was the greatest of all men in the East. Now that's some man. Commended by God. But God goes further than that. In verse 8, before Satan, he says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Not East, but I consider none like him in the whole earth. Forget the East. Before you, buddy, none like him in the whole earth. Wow. This is a commendation you find no other person gets but Job. You know why? Because he could trust him with the suffering that he was about to go through, the test that he was about to go through. Let your wife be encouraged, Alana. Let her know I said so, Daniel. That God sometimes only tests the very best, especially like this. We'll see this in a minute too. Now watch this. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Do you pray for your children? Daily. Job did. And he didn't understand what was about to come up. He didn't take any chances. He prayed for them. And sometimes, you know, your prayers may be the only prayers that are sent to God that whole day. For your children or your grandchildren, or that whole week or that whole month, but pray for your children daily. The But you may be the only one doing so. And it could be your prayers that's keeping them from trouble. Especially the younger they are. And especially if they're in school. And especially if they're in higher education or college. Mercy. Or grad school. Mercy, mercy. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, these are the good angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now get this. Angels still had to report to the Lord. Give an account. What have you been doing? What have you been doing? We're all stewards. What is a steward? You're entrusted with the goods of someone else. And we've been entrusted with the goods of the Lord. The life, our talents, our gifts, our tokens. They're all loaned to us. We won't have them long. And yet, we have to give an account to God for what we've done with our talents, with our tokens, with our time. We have to give a report. And we should keep that in short order. And you do that by every day confessing sins, omissions, and commissions. So that when you get before the Lord, ultimately, that list won't be that long of the things you failed to testify and confess. So they came. But notice this. And Satan came also, notice this, among them. He was among them. So was Judas. And Satan loves to come into a place like this. He's not at the casinos. He won't be at the Super Bowl. He loves to be in places like this, you see. He loves to test people like Allah, like Job, like me, like you. Remember when at the Last Supper, the Lord said, one of you shall betray me. Now, each one, including Judas, said, Lord, is it I? Knowing it was him. That's a lot of nerve, isn't it? Lord, is it I? And when you see a picture of the disciples in an inclined, reclined position or leaning position, that's what they're doing. They're saying, who is it? We know each other. We're a close group. We're a close-knit group here. Who could it be? You know why each one of them asked that question, Lord, is it I? Because they knew they could be capable of doing it. Peter swore with an oath, with cursing. Lord, all men may forsake you. You can count on me, not me. Well, be careful, sir. Be careful, man. You're capable of doing the same thing. Same thing. And we don't realize it. And that's what puts us so close to the edge. And we don't realize just how close we are to the edge. But Satan knows. He knows. Prone to wonder. What? Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart. Lord, and seal it, for thy court's above. But each and every one of us, the one talking to you. Prone to have evil thoughts. See, this is what Lucifer forgot. He didn't do anything to get busted out of heaven. He didn't do a thing. What did he do? He didn't do a thing. He thought the wrong thing, not realizing or appreciating the fact that the very thought of foolishness is sin. He found out. So in a real sense, he cut Eve and Adam slack. He didn't cut Satan. Satan didn't do anything. Adam and Eve did something. But the thought precedes the deed. See, prone to wonder. That's a good man. You know the man I like in the New Testament? Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I like that man. That man was honest. God could help that man. He came to him honestly. Come with his pious attitude. Holier than thou attitude. No. I say again, saints, be careful. You're not too far from the edge with that kind of big head. Be careful. Satan came among them. Always does. Continue. He had to give a report. He still does. Watch this now. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, oh, by the way, this is the first time Satan appears in the scripture. Did you know that? His name. Because God is going to classify him in a certain way of what his name means in this context. Now, it may mean something else in different contexts, but in this context, it means to lie in wait for what's coming up next. That's exactly what it means. You got it? First time it appears in Scripture, it appears here, and his name means in this context to lie in wait. And this is why a fellow called me, he was the chief of police in Taylor. They lost their first officer when I was back on the job. And at least I was a chaplain. And he knew it because I worked with him because I helped them plan the program for that officer. And so after it was all over with, he called me at home and he said, Hampton, he said, I'm getting ready to be interviewed by the news media and I support capital punishment. He said, do you? I said, absolutely. It's biblical. He said, that's why I'm calling you. He said, what text can I use? I said, well, just go to start with Genesis 9:6. He says, where's Genesis? I'm Catholic. I said, wow. Very intelligent man. I said, just open the Bible, turn a few pages, you'll run right into it. There, God says, whosoever. That doesn't make any difference about his race, his place, his color, his ethnicity, his nationality. That makes no difference. I don't want to hear that. Whosoever, carte blanche, shed it. That means first degree, premeditated, lie in wait. Like this clown did the other day, Thursday, going from place to place, disgruntled employee. He planned this. He would have killed more. He planned this. It was purposeful. It was deliberate. It was callous. And the devil has something to do with it. Because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil had everything to do with it. Because he was lying in wait. And that's what it means right here. First time it shows up in the scripture. Lying in wait. With every intent. To do great bodily harm, including me, as many as I can. AK-47. I've got a. When I shoot at the range, they got the AK-47s on this side of the curtain, and they got the pistols and the automatics on the other side. When I walk in there with my Smith & Wesson 500. The biggest noise makers are the big boys with their assault weapons on this side of the curtain until mine go off. Those who know me, they say, yeah, look here, the preacher got the biggest gun. That's right. I want you to know that I'm Boss Hog. I want you to know who's the boss around here. You can't get it any bigger than that. Smith & Wesson, 500. It only takes 5 shells. It can't take 6. They're too big. And a woman can't shoot it. Break your arm. Most men can't. But Boss Man can. See? And it's tailor-made for people like this guy. I mean that. When I came on the job in the early days, they said, Hampton, yeah, would you kill a man? And I was waiting on that. I was waiting on that. And I said this, not unless I had to. Because they knew I was in the ministry. Would you kill? I said, not unless I had to. And I would pray that God would make my aim straight. Oh, okay. He liked that. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, notice this, by man. By man. That means constituted authority. Not a lynch mob. By man shall his blood be shed. And then God tells you why. Why? Because in the image of God made he man. If he could, he would kill me. That's what God said. If he could, that same fellow, because he has the spirit of the devil. Lying in wait. That's why he chose Job. Let me test him. Let's go on here. Watch this. Now get this. Mercy. Whence cometh thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Most people run by that. Don't do that. Don't run by that. Let's take one thing at a time. First of all, Cain did something that the devil never did. What was that? The devil never lied to the Lord. Show it to me. Never lied to him. He never lied to him. The Lord asked the devil, what are you doing? He told him, I'm going to and fro. Cain, where's your brother? I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He lied to the Lord. He went beyond what the devil wouldn't go. But let's get this understood, because it's very important. And I took some time on this. When he said, what did he mean when he said, going to and fro in the earth? What does that mean? Going to. And he still is. Yeah, that's his deportment right now. But what did he mean when he said going to and fro? Oh, please get this. In the Hebrew, it means this. I am with jet-like speed, crisscrossing the continents, checking things out, checking my traps. That's what I'm doing. Just like speed. I may be in Australia. I may be in New Zealand. I may be in Asia. I may be in America. I may be here. I'm just back and forth, back and forth. When I was a kid, I used to hunt alley rats back on the east side. And some of those rats were like this. You follow me? I used to use a bow and arrow. An Italian fella, he trained me. Never will forget. Boy, that boy helped me. And what we would do, we would set traps, and then about an hour later, we'd come back and check the traps. Now, you've heard a deer trapped in the headlights. If a rat, especially the big, I don't know about the ones today, but back in those days, I mean sewer rats. That's what I meant. Sewer rats, not that. Sewer rats, this big. And we'd go back around and put the light on them. And if he was gnawing on some cheese or whatever we used, that light didn't faze him one bit. And the gospel doesn't faze some people one bit. Doesn't it? Just keep right on doing what they're doing. I was on the streets in 1967 when the riots went down. I was there. I was there. I have 8mm to prove it. Why? Because before that, a year or so before that, I said, where's the action at that we can go and make a difference? And one of the elders said, well, on 12th Street. Why don't you go on 12th Street? Pass out your tracks there, get your bullhorn. And that's where we went. And I'm telling you, sure, the Lord be my witness, on the very morning of that riot in 1967, it was like you could cut the tension with a knife. I didn't know why, didn't know what until later. Obviously, the world soon would know. But I said, something is different about tonight than any other night. You could feel the tension. Something was about to jump off. It was the first night that they got so upset with us, preaching, we had a bullhorn, preaching the gospel, passing our tract, that they went up on the building and they poured liquor down on top of us. Now, I had a hard time explaining to my wife that I wasn't at the nightclub. Yes, you smell like you've been out passing out tracks. I said, maybe I was. I got a camera. I got witnesses. Well, let me tell you, in a few hours, she knew that I was telling the truth. I said, they gave us the hardest time that we've ever had. The devil was on the move. But here's what it means. To and fro. Australia. Africa. Asia. America. It's going to rapidly, rapidly, putting down traps. Well, sometimes when he finds a bait in one of the traps, he walks. And it means he stalks. It means he lies in wait. Here is what he did with Job. And that's why the Lord said the very next thing, He's not going to and fro. No, he's walking, he's stalking, he's lying in wait, because he had Job in mind. And the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? He knew he was. That there is none like him in the earth. Same thing again. Perfect, upright. One that feareth God, sheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth God fear, doth Job fear God for naught? Has thou not made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he has you too. And let me tell you something. The only way the devil can get to you, he has to get permission. And if he gets permission to bring on sickness, to bring on bereavement, to bring on hardship, just be reminded that God is more aware of your circumstance than you are. And he is allowing it for his purposes, whether you know it or not. And appreciate that too. Continue. Then Satan asked, then notice this here. Put forth now thy hand. Why did he say that? Because he knew he couldn't. You do it. He knew he couldn't. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face. You know, that's what the devil, that's what Satan wanted him to do, to curse God. Did he do it? Well, he came close. If you notice here in chapter 2 and verse 9, he couldn't do it, but he got his wife to do it. I hold fast here in Turkey. You know, I used to be critical of Job's wife. I don't do that anymore. When was the last time you had all of your children in front of you in bereavement? When was the last time you lay flat on your back with boils on the crown of your head to the sole of your feet? So be careful. I think she had taken all she could take. She's the weaker vessel. And she broke. I can understand that. Curse God. I can't take it no more. All my kids are gone. Suddenly. And now your health is gone. Suddenly. For no cause. Nah. Why don't you curse God and die? In verse 1 of chapter 3, the next chapter, he cursed his day. If you go and study the life of Job, you find the good, the bad, and the ugly. He started well. You know, it always moves me about certain Christians. When the Lord is blessing, they don't say, why me? But when there is reversal, sickness, financial, marital, then they say, why me? Well, you didn't say that a few weeks ago. You didn't say that a few months ago when you got that bonus, got that raise, got that promotion, when everything was going well. You didn't say, why me? You have to be careful. Saints, it rains on the just and the unjust. And Dr. McGee said it rains on the just more than the unjust because the unjust stole the just umbrella. Notice this now. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only on himself, but not for thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons, notice this, and his daughters were eating and drinking in the elder's brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Seabeans, fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone left. Who are the Seabeans? Well, turn to Genesis quick. Oh, my time's up. Turn to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Look who the Seabeams were. Genesis 25. Make that connection, saints. Make that connection. This was the firstborn of Abram to his wife Keturah. Firstborn. In verse 3. 25:3. Make that connection now. How they turned out. See, sometimes the best of us can give birth to some of the worst of us. The firstborn was a murderer. The firstborn was of that wicked one. Understand that. From all of our children, our grandchildren, you will find the worst of humanity. And that's why, again, we need to pray for our children. Pray for who they marry. Boy, that can make a difference. Now, I'll say this, and I'm going to quit. I don't mean create any disturbance among you. But I've lived long enough to see this come to pass. Well, 50 years in this business, over 50. Let me tell you this. When it comes to in-law problems, daughter-in-law, son-in-laws, a poll was taken. Who do you think gives is the cause of most problems in families, son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws? You got it right. The daughter-in-laws. Not all, but all too many. Statistic-wise, men can make up, kiss and make up, but them women, woo! That's just the way it is. That's why there's one woman to a kitchen. Now, you can have a bunch of men in the house. Does that get along? One woman. The first question asked when mother-in-law was coming to the house, how long is she? Daddy-in-law, daddy-in-law, me and dad, we go fishing with that. But mom-in-law, I know the exception. I'm just telling you what the facts say, what statistics say. Can I finish this for a quick minute? The Sabines fell upon them, took them all away, but he got into the killing business. That's what I'm saying. He was lying in wait to start his rampage of killing. He killed them, all the servants, with the edge of the sword. Then, verse 16. And while he was just speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God is falling from heaven and hath burnt up the sheep." Here's the killing and the servants and consumed them. "And I only have escaped alone to tell thee." Now, wait a minute. Hold on. In every insurance policy they have, it pays off except for what? An act of God. I think we have to be careful about that. All acts are not of God. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. If you don't think so, what do you think he's done to the news media? And not only that, he is the prince of this world, the God of this world. God has given them controls because it's here. You know, the Lord never contested with him. He said, "All of this is given to me in the wilderness. This is given to me, and to whomsoever I'll give it." The Lord didn't say you were wrong, because it was. Because Adam forfeited his right to it. So, yeah, the issues they have in California, the fires and the mudslides and the earthquakes, don't always blame God. It's not always like, sometimes God has stepped out of the way, stepped back, and go ahead. They're your children. Do what you will with them. And I conclude with this one. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another, said the Chaldeans. And you know the rest of the story. The killing again went into a killing spree. And who are the Chaldeans? Well, again, children of Abraham. Remember this. He was born in Ur of the Chaldees. So in every family, I'll tell you, friends, Satan is specializing today, pulling out all the stops today to tear apart families. God is in the business of having us understand that families are important because we don't want to give the enemy reason to blaspheme. Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We know that you love us because you gave us heaven's best in the person and personality. He was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. If perchance, Lord, there are those or one or more in the room today that has never tasted to see that you're good, give them restlessness until they rest in thee. Grant it so. Thank you for this assembly. Continue to make it a lighthouse, a beacon house in this community for your honor, for your glory, for Christ's sake. Amen.